Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die. Well, praise God, we have this ability, middle of the week, to fellowship together, to worship together. Again, we're doing this over the blessing from the Lord of social media, the internet, YouTube, all these different places we're able to do it. We thank the Lord for that. Really have seen a work of God in so many areas, not only in this ministry, but heard about pastors all over the place that are being able to engage people through the ministry, the preaching, the teaching, and the singing like never before. So I thank the Lord. Is that, again, in the very beginning, I remember saying the Romans 8:28, sharing that with you because we didn't understand this. We didn't understand why. But I promised back then that God works all things together for good to them that love him and are called according to his purpose. So not only is God working this out for our good and allowing us to see the blessing of reaching people, but also those people who are being reached. Imagine the gift of now the uncertainty, which has provoked the searching mindset, and ultimately imagine how many will come to saving faith in Jesus Christ as a result of this. So we thank God for it again. We thank God for you tonight. I pray that no matter where you're at, that you realize God has it under control. He holds us in the palm of his hand. And as we just sang, yes, Jesus loves me. Why? For the Bible tells me so. And the truth is, in faith, we're able to be sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And tonight, not only is the power and the presence and the reality of who Jesus was and what he did for us true, but tonight I would doubt your existence before I would the reality that Jesus loves us. He loves you. Put your name in that when you sing that. So I just pray you're encouraged by that tonight. I pray that wherever you're at, no matter where you're listening to this, we know that God's word never returns void. And we just pray that he'll move in your heart and my heart and all of our hearts tonight to bring us to a greater place of service, commitment, and obedience as followers of Christ. Turn your Bibles tonight, if you haven't, to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. We're going to look at verses 5 through 8 tonight, and I want to challenge you quickly to put aside any distractions you might have. If you have a TV on that you're not watching the message on, please turn it off. If you have a phone that you're not looking, you're not, the only way you have to watch would be on that phone. Otherwise, put that somewhere where it's not going to distract you. Put it on airplane mode. I promise you, if you do that, it's going to give the enemy no foothold and ability. Yes, there'll be other ways he may try, but that will shut down these abilities he has to do what he loves best, which is to distract us. He loves to divert us and all of those different things. So remove any way tonight that he might have any kind of ability to do that. And you just focus on what God wants to do through the reading, the teaching, the preaching of his word tonight. We're going to look at a message tonight that's titled, Blessed or Cursed? It's a question for all of us. Comes from the book of Jeremiah, again, chapter 17. There's three verses we're going to look at tonight. And really this explicitly just lays out, it's pretty profound here in what God says to the people. And tonight, in these three verses, the challenge to us tonight is really the question, are you blessed or are you cursed tonight? We're going to see the two camps. There's blessing, there also is cursing. And we're going to see tonight where those camps reside. And then we'll be able to step back and be objective and say, what camp do I reside in tonight? I pray that you are residing in the camp of the blessed tonight. If you're not, the beautiful thing about God's word is that God's word calls us to transformations. It calls us to repent, to turn. And if you're not in that camp tonight of blessing, I thank the Lord tonight that the promises of God give us the full certainty that you can repent, you can turn tonight, and tonight you can begin camping in that camp of blessing, which is the place that we find all of those things that God's word promises, but also as humans, those things that we desire, joy and peace and hope that are only found within the confines of God's blessing. Again, I hope you found Jeremiah chapter 17. We'll look at verses 5 through 8. And if you are physically able where you are tonight, stand out of reverence for the reading of God's word. This is what the Lord says. The man who trusts in mankind, who makes human flesh his strength and turns his heart from the Lord, is cursed. He will be like a juniper in the Arabah. He cannot see when good comes, but dwells in the parched places in the wilderness, in the salt land where no one lives. The man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence indeed is the Lord, is blessed. He will be like a tree planted by water. It sends its roots out toward a stream. It doesn't fear when heat comes, and its foliage remains green. It will not worry in a year of drought or cease producing fruit. Father God, I thank you, Lord, tonight for the truth of your word. God, I thank you tonight for really this warning sign. God, these three verses that we're going to look at tonight are the promises of you. Lord, the promise that if we reside in your assembly, Lord, if we reside in that place of obedience, God, there is blessing. But God, it also warns us, Lord, that there is, when we turn away from you, God, a place that we are in essence cursed. That place where no blessings are found, Father, where a loneliness, isolation, and pain is found. And I thank you, God, that you warn us of those places. And God, tonight I pray that you would move mightily through your Spirit's power, your presence, Lord, and that every person that hears the words, your word tonight, God, would step back and take an objective look at where we are at tonight. God, I pray that you would move in hearts and lives and minds. God, understanding that a relationship with you is not about rules, Lord. It is about a relationship, a transforming work of the Spirit, God, through salvation, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is the atoning sacrifice for sin. God, may you be lifted up, exalted, glorified as you deserve to be, our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. And we ask all this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Again, in verse 5 there, this is what the Lord says. So I like that because we know where it's coming from. It comes straight from the Lord. The man who trusts in mankind, who makes human flesh his strength and turns his heart from the Lord, is cursed. Now, there's an interesting thing that occurs right here that you might, if you read this really quick and weren't thinking when you did it, you'd miss this part. A lot of people would say, oh, this verse in this scripture is talking about people who don't know about God. This is talking to the guy out there on the street that has no knowledge of the Lord and no knowledge of the spiritual things of Christ. And it's just saying, hey, this person's cursed because they don't know anything spiritual. They turn away from the Lord. No, no, no. This is talking about people who know truth, who in a sense have been trusting in mankind. They know the truth. They're living truth. No, they've turned from that truth. And it's powerful because once you turn your heart from the Lord, you and I, even as followers of Christ, we call it backsliding, but I would just call it when we decide to take things in our own hands and excuse God in a sense and his power, protection, and his blessing. But this person that takes this, in a sense, what happens is they have tasted, it's almost like the parable of the soils. And what has happened, they've received it with joy. And what happens, they turn. And it's a turning from the Lord, turning his heart from the Lord. And that is that picture of someone whose heart was turned toward the Lord, who has had the knowledge spiritually. We see that. The Bible says it's better not to know the way of righteousness than to know the way of righteousness and then to turn your back on the sacred command that was passed down to you. No greater picture of that. Picture the soils, the parable of the soils. That's what this picture is. Turning from the Lord. Had that ability to come to faith in Jesus Christ. Had the Spirit of God that it was overwhelming them with the fact that they were a sinner in need of a Savior. And yet, we see this. And the first thing that I want to share with you tonight comes from that verse, and it is this. The one who trusts in anything but God is cursed. Anybody. Why? Because there's no blessing, there's no peace, there's no hope, there's no joy, there's no stability. There is nothing in that apart from pain. Anything that we do apart from the Lord cannot, will not ever be blessed. We fall into that as believers, thinking that we can, in a sense, exist as a follower of Christ in an absence where Christ is this app, God is this app that we have in our life that we utilize when we need it, and then we go to force stop. If you know what that is on your phone, when you decide that something doesn't need to be used anymore, you hit four stops. So you set it back there in the programs that are not used for the time that you need it. God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit's power and presence in our life, is not a life preserver. This is not something that we, when we feel like we're in trouble, when we feel like we're drowning or we're in danger, that we all of a sudden pull up again. No, that is trusting in self. And as a matter of fact, that's using the grace of the Lord and in a sense turning it into a license for immorality, do whatever we want to do. And then we pull God up and we use him. And there's some terrible analogies that I could say tonight. I don't want to get too overwhelmed tonight or overwhelm you too much, but it's usury. Don't use the grace and the mercy of Christ as this license for immorality or this Holy Spirit life preserver, as I refer to it sometimes. So the one who trusts in anything but God is cursed. Why are they cursed? Well, because they're not going to experience blessing. We cannot experience blessing. If we are blessed in sin, then God's a liar. God's not a liar. He never has been, and he's not going to start right now. You and I are not that important that God is going to defy his very character nature because of us. He's not. I'm sorry. I know a lot of times we like to see our worth as a lot more than it should be. God doesn't need you and I to be God. He loves us. He wants us. But brothers and sisters in Christ, he's not going to change who he is to keep you and I on board. He's not going to do it. He will do anything to strengthen us, to comfort us, to chastise us because he loves us, but ultimately he will not defy his holiness for you and I. And actually, I praise him tonight for that truth. Listen to verse 6 again. He will be like a juniper in the Arabah. He cannot see when good comes, but dwells in the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land where no one lives. Second thing that I want to share with you comes from that verse tonight, and it is this. When we trust in self, we live in a desert. Again, this can apply to not only the lost, but believers. How many times as a believer, and I'm not talking about a time of testing where you or I were at that place where God was in a sense saying, okay, I've overwhelmed you with blessing, so I want to see who you trust. I want to see who you're resting in tonight. And what, like in a Paul and a Silas sense, you end up in a jail cell. And I'm not talking about literal jail. Sometimes Christians do get arrested, though. Sometimes Christians, we think about Brother Naren tonight, who is still over in India, right there by the Himalayas. He's over in that area. He's still in prison right now. We have a lot of people forgotten about him. But Pastor Naren is still there, and he is suffering for one reason and one reason alone, because he's a follower of Jesus Christ. Without question, he is suffering for his faith in Christ. He is being tested this very moment and has been now for, I guess it's been 4 months, 5 months, and most likely will continue on for a while apart from a divine work of God. But listen, has God forgotten about Pastor Naren? Absolutely not. Has any moment that he has been in that jail cell been for no reason or because God had forgotten? God was out to lunch, as when Elijah was taunting the Baal prophets that time. Was God on a vacation and far away doing business and forgot about Pastor Naren? And oh, one of these days, he's going to have this recollection that he's in jail somewhere, and then God's going to go, oh no, how do I get him out of that? No, not for a moment. God transcends time. He is omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. God has known, by the way, before he was born that this was going to happen. But see, again, the promise of God says what? That all things work together for good to them that love him and are called according to his purpose. Pastor Naren is a follower, sold out, completely bananas for Jesus fella. Not just because he's a pastor. He loves the Lord with all his heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. So the promise of God is that every day that he wakes up and every moment of this captivity in this foreign country, separated from his wife, his brothers and sisters in Christ, and all those people that he loves, is not for any reason at all. There is a deep reason, a beautiful reason, and a perfect reason, and God will use it for his glory. Now, is it easy for Brother Naren? I can guarantee it's not. I can guarantee at times, he's like Paul. You know, Paul said at times, I would almost despair. I struggle with that. I battle with it. How many of us would be struggling with that same thing? Many of us. Now, I believe there would be times on being on mountaintops where you are refreshed by the power of God, the Spirit of God, and you would reiterate in your own heart and mind, Lord, I know that you have this going on for a reason, a purpose, and Lord, thank you for that. But I bet there are other times when he is struggling deeply. And that's what we've got to understand in the spiritual sense. When you and I are trusting in self, we live in that desert. Now, many times our desert comes from sin. You know what that means, right? That's that time that we start trusting in self. By the way, there's a real correlation between when we get too busy and we stop reading our Bible, and then I always put equal sign, desert experience. Now, the interesting thing about it is we'll stop reading our Bible, and then things start going south, and then we start talking and we start profusing. We start explaining about this miserably lonely feeling we have and why everything's going so bad in our lives, and we don't understand why nothing works, and we don't get along with our husband, wife, and just things aren't doing really well. I don't know why. And then one day you'll sit down with someone, they'll ask you how your Bible reading's going. Well, I hadn't been reading in a while, because I always ask people that when they sit down and have problems. How's your Bible reading going? Well, I hadn't been reading. Oh, really? How long? Well, it's been about 3 weeks. Oh, really? When did this stuff start that you've been talking to me about, this desert feeling and this battle and this struggle? Oh, it was about 3 weeks ago. Oh, really? A plus B equals C. Lack of Bible reading equals issues. Why? Because we're not hearing God speak. We don't have his divine direction. What are we doing? In a sense, we are walking out of a blessing, and in a sense, into a curse. Don't know why everything's going wrong. I don't understand it. Well, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize that God's word has power. And if we think for a moment that we can turn our backs on God, don't forget, well, I'm not turning my back. Oh, come on. You're telling him to shut up. I've heard enough of you, God. I don't want to hear what you have to say, even if it's through the deception of, well, I've just been too busy. No, we have to make a concerted effort to hear God speak to us without question. It'll happen from the day that you come to faith in Christ to the day that you fall in the obedience of reading God's word, and it won't stop until we die or we become too out of it and can't do it anymore. We don't have the choice not to do that, because if we do, the only thing that ends up happening is we start feeling, in a sense, a curse in our life. Things don't go well. It can't go well, because it's disobedience when we're not in God's word. So it doesn't matter that, well, I just don't want to grow to that level, or I don't read good, and we can go all these excuses. No, the truth is that we are, in a sense, running from God when we won't read his word. We don't want to hear from him. Even if we don't want to admit that's the truth, it is the truth. So how can we claim as a follower of Christ that we want God's blessing, but yet we won't spend time with him? Remember this. The Lord says, the man who trusts in mankind, who makes human flesh his strength and turns his heart from the Lord is cursed. What do we have to trust in if we're not in God's word? Tell me. Right. You just said it to yourself. We only have mankind to trust in when we don't spend time in God's word consistently and continually, day after day after day. Because why? Our heart is turned from the Lord when we're not turned to him. How do we turn to him? Don't think just because you and I made a profession of faith, oh, we've turned to Christ, and oh, we'll never sway. No. Take heed when you think you stand, lest you fall. You better understand one thing clearly, and I need to understand this continually. We are desperately depraved. We are desperate for Christ and must be. If not, we will end up in this parched and barren land that we're looking at tonight. He will be like a juniper in the Araba. Cannot see when good comes, but dwells in the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land where no one lives. What that saying is, sin takes you to a place that is extremely dry, a place where no one lives, meaning that it brings you to a place of extreme loneliness. See, when we trust in ourselves, we live in a desert because what we're in a sense doing is turning our backs on God. Now, no, you're not denying your salvation. God hadn't gone anywhere, by the way. God's right there. We're the ones that go somewhere. We wander off into our own devices and into our selfish, and then sadly, we turn that into the woe is me to get sympathy from solid, sold-out believers instead of saying, listen, y'all, God has just given me what I've been given. I'm the one that wandered away from the Lord. I need you to pray not only that God's Spirit would continue to convict me, but that I would stay in that place of obedience. No, many times we go seeking out the sympathy from brothers and sisters in Christ, not understanding why this spiritual valley or this dryness that we're in. We don't want to own our actions. Own your actions. When you run from a blessing to a curse, own it. Tell them, your brothers and sisters that you love in Christ, listen, the only person that I have to blame for this is myself. I've become apathetic, overfed, unconcerned, and indifferent, or whatever else you might want to say it as. And I need y'all to pray that God would be gracious to me. I would like you to call and hold me accountable, or text and hold me accountable, because I am in no place right now anywhere near needing to be by myself. I don't need to spend my days continuing to wander in self and self-sufficiency and all these things that I've been doing. I need accountability. I need you to speak truth into my life, no matter how hard it might be to hear. And if I snap back at you, just know right now that I'm trying to come back from this dry and this weary land through repentance and restoration, but I need y'all to walk with me through that. Be honest about it. Be honest when you've walked out of God's blessing into a curse, and know that he is gracious and he's merciful. 1 John 1:9. If you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But there's a process in the forgiveness aspect. We see it in Psalm 51. Even though David had a contrite and a broken heart at this time, he was crying out that God would not restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Why? Because being in a parched and barren land will rob you of the joy of the Lord. Listen to verses 7 and 8 again. The man who trusts in this is what I love when we get to this part. The man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence indeed is the Lord, is blessed. He will be like a tree planted by the water. It sends its roots out toward a stream. It doesn't fear when heat comes, and its foliage remains green. It will not worry in a year of drought or cease producing fruit. Man, that's encouraging. That's what I'm going to share with you to finish this third and final life application principle tonight. When we fully trust in the Lord, we will produce fruit continually. When we fully trust in the Lord, we will produce fruit continually. Now, does that mean that we won't ever have a time of feeling like we're in a desert where God's preparing us? James chapter 1, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. Do you realize that in the midst of trials and tribulations, we can have a greater testimony sometimes for our love, our faithful commitment, and our sold out, overwhelming love for Jesus than we can in our times of good? You know that? Because that's when people are watching us the closest, when things in our life are not going well, not because of sin either. I'm talking about when the Lord, in a sense, is growing us or trying us or testing us. And what happens when you and I fall into the world's way, where all of a sudden we start clamoring because finances get tight and we start doing things we shouldn't be doing, acting in ways we shouldn't be acting? They're watching. You know what the greatest testimony is? Is that when things go south and God's testing us and trying us and we're in a barren wilderness, and you and I say what Job said, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Because what are you saying by that? God, I'm with you from A to Z. I'm with you from birth to death, my spiritual birth to the day that I die and onward. God, you can kill me and I'm like a 3-year-old child. I'm going to hang on to your leg. God, I'm not going nowhere. Job's wife cursed God and died. Job, you foolish woman. That's what he says. Why? Because Job knew that there was no reality apart from God. Yes, he went through a struggle there in the sense of saying, man, I just wish I'd never been born. Things got pretty miserable for Job, the loss of all his possessions and these terrible physical afflictions. But yet we see at the very beginning, right from the start, when Job loses everything, what does he do? He tears his robes. He sits down on the ash pile. Naked I came, naked I go. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Ready? The best part. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And it said in that he did not sin. But what about us? Are you a fair weather follower of Christ? You know what that means? Fair weather followers of Christ are as spiritual as you could ever imagine, jumping pews, shouting, and running down the street when things are great. Oh, Lord, little tribulation comes, looks like a 737 coming down a runway with no landing gear. All to pieces. Got to foam up the runway, man. Why? Because this is a disaster in the making. The way we react under that intense and immense pressure speaks volumes of the genuine truth about our spiritual condition. And see, the man who trusts the Lord, whose confidence indeed is the Lord, is blessed. He'll be like a tree planted by the water. It sends its roots out toward a stream. It doesn't fear when heat comes. Its foliage remains green. It will not worry in a year of drought or cease producing fruit. Now, there's a tendency as a pastor to do this. Everybody, if you're honest as a pastor, I don't want to preach James 1. I don't want to preach 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and Paul's thorn. I don't want to preach David and Bathsheba. I don't want to preach Samson. You know what I want to preach? How to treat Jesus' miracles, man, feeding the 5,000. And I want to preach all these incredible, in a sense, apostolic manifestations of God's power and the joy. And I want to shout glory, hallelujah, and run around and live on a cloud nine, in a sense, spiritually. I want to talk about all the blessings and the prayers of Jabez. And I want to just talk about all this good stuff. And I want to come in on Sunday, Wednesday night, and Sunday nights, man, and preach nothing but that glory of excitement and that God's best for you is money and health and wealth and all the wonderful things of life. See, you know what happens if I sell you short like that and not preach the full counsel of God's word? Your walk with Christ is going to be about credit card thick. Your maturity is going to be about credit card thick. When you're not being cut with the sword of the Spirit, and growing spiritually, being challenged, convicted, repenting, and going forward, you're not going to have any spiritual strength. You're not going to have any spiritual maturity. So if you go along in that fashion, I always call it like your spiritual maturity is credit card thick. You're going along at 1,000 miles an hour, man. Everything is just wonderful. What happens when that trial, tribulation eventually does come? What happens when your wife calls you or your child calls you, hey, they got cancer, or you get that phone call that you've lost your wife in a car accident, or husband in a car accident, child in a car accident, or through some terrible tragedy? What's going to happen? Well, it's going to be like getting in one of those Z06 Corvettes doing about 155 miles an hour and hitting one of those speed bumps about that big. You tell me. It's nasty, isn't it? See, that's why it's important spiritually to read and to be taught and to grow in the full counsel of God's word. Because when you're in those places in the word that are challenging and encouraging and just awesome, and you're going to be on cloud nine. And then the next day when you're in a story that hits home, and God's Holy Spirit convicts you as you're in that part of Scripture, well, you're going to deal with that. You're going to repent of it. You're going to turn and allow God to grow you through that and allow God to grow me through that. And what that process does is it creates spiritual maturity, spiritual growth. And what spiritual growth does, in James it says, so we might be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And what is the difference in spiritual maturity is that you contend. You're able to defend and contend. You're able to fight. You're armored up. If you don't put on the full armor, what are you going to stand in and stand with? That's why it's so important to realize that When we fully trust in the Lord, those roots, when we're in God's Word and we're being taught the full counsel of God's Word and we have accountability and we're doing exactly what the Word says to do, these roots are growing and they're growing deep. We see it right there. It sends its roots out towards the stream, meaning that it cannot rain up here. That's okay, because what? God is feeding us because our roots are deep spiritually. And it doesn't matter when the drought comes. Why? Because the rain is not the thing that's ultimately feeding that. It's being fed by the source, by the stream of living water. What are you being fed with tonight? Are you one of those hybrid quick grows that roots don't go deep? Because, well, you don't like all that kind of stuff that makes you feel bad. You just want that, you want that preaching and teaching that's going to just make you feel good. Well, it's okay to feel good every once in a while, but I'm going to tell you what, we also need the conviction of the Spirit of God, because what that does is show us where we're out of line with His Word. And what does that do? We get back in line with His Word, and there's encouragement and there's joy and peace and hope in that. But I want to tell you something. The real question tonight becomes for all of us is, what are you trusting in tonight? What are you trusting in? I will tell you, if you've been trusting your 401k, I can guarantee you, if you've looked at it, you don't have as much trust in it recently. A lot of decisions being made financially that I think are going to have greater implications on those 401ks, retirements, and everything else for that matter. That's why you hear me repetitively saying, by the way, 2 months ago I was saying this, if you're trusting in that, don't be doing it, because in a moment's notice, everything can change. Don't ever trust in that. Money, by the way, is a wicked taskmaster. Families, all of this stuff, if you trust in that and you rest in that, you're going to be in trouble, because people will fail you. The only thing that doesn't is the truth of God. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior and His Word. That's the only thing that doesn't change and never will let us down. But tonight, if you've been trusting in that stuff, I can know you're nervous. You're nervous because a lot of people have lost a lot of money. If you've had that job for 40 years, 30, 20, whatever it is, and you've got seniority and everything was great, and all of a sudden you found out, even in the best of jobs, 1 + 1 = 2, there's some uncertainty in companies right now, big and small. They don't know what ultimately can happen, because there's been some serious financial hits that have happened. And it's going to be a painful process coming out of this. And ultimately, don't forget this, God's plan doesn't get changed because of no COVID-19. If anything, God allowed this, and ultimately whatever He's going to use this for, to glory to the highest. Amen. God has this under control. And there's no greater joy than trusting that God does and knowing that God has this under control. What is there to worry about? Either God's a liar or He's not. And I know He's not, so don't worry about that. You need to ultimately get down. If you struggle with that, I want to challenge you to do something. Get your Bible tonight, or the next time you have a chance, do it with your wife. I mean, that's fine. I would challenge you to do it individually also. Get down on your knees, on the floor, lay down your Bible, get over top of that thing and say, Lord, don't let me ever question Your Word again, Father. I want nothing more than in complete, total, and blind faith, trust You, trust Your Word. Don't ever let me doubt You or doubt Your Word. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do that. I want to tell you what it'll do. It'll change your life. I did it while reading a book from Billy Graham about a man who had challenged him to do it early on in his ministry. And I remember the day that I did that. I wasn't really questioning God, but there were some things I didn't understand. And I was frustrated with myself because I did not want to question God. But I was reading this book from Billy Graham, and I read that, and Billy Graham said in there that the day that he did that was a turning point in his ministry. And he said he's never doubted God's Word again. And I thought, well, I don't believe that Billy Graham had a greater or more special relationship with the Lord. I believe God honored that, because he, in total blind faith and obedience, was saying basically, I want to greater be a slave to You, God, So what did I do that day? I got down on my hands and my knees, put my Bible down, and right there, if I remember correctly, it was either in my study or my living room, I did that, and I thank the Lord I haven't had those issues. I haven't had that. And it's the wildest thing in the world, because it's just God. He answered the true desire of my heart, because I recognize that I am finite, but God is infinite. And I know the Bible talks about those secret things of the Lord. Those are His. The revealed things, yes, are ours. There is a lot of things that we'll never understand about God. We can't. We are limited. I sure enough am no Solomon, and I know you're not either. So we're not going to understand a lot, because again, we are limited. Trust that God is true, His word is true, and trust that whenever there's an issue that you and I don't understand, it doesn't have anything to do with God. It has everything to do with our inability to comprehend the mind of God. Tonight, are you blessed or are you cursed? I want you to know tonight, each person that's watching tonight's lives are going to be characterized ultimately by one of two things: obedience or disobedience. Now, if you had godly parents or parents that had any kind of gumption to them, they raised you to respect authority and to submit to authority, even if you didn't understand or like it. I've met a lot of people who have shared with me how difficult it is for them because their parents did not teach them that. They always taught them to question authority. So it's been very difficult. They'll tell me when they sit down in front of me, I have a very difficult time because my parents never made me submit to authority. They always let me question authority, thinking that was the enlightened way and all that kind of stuff. And they said it's really been difficult because I want to trust God, but I find myself in the mindsets, the attitudes of childhood that have now bled over. And I know, as the Bible talks about, it must be unconditional submission to God's will. And what I challenge them to do it when I deal with this with people is I tell them these are generational curses in a sense. These are open doors that the enemy loves to exploit. And by the way, if our parents did not teach us unconditional submission to authority, that was sin. So we have the generational, what does it say? The sins of the father carried on to the third and fourth generation, but the blessings to 1,000. But we have the ability to confess that sin, even if it wasn't our sin. And the ungodly soul ties that we have that are holding us to those attitudes or actions that we don't like, that inability to trust God or to question authority. I don't know who we are. Who are we to question God? Who are you to say, why did you make me this way? That's what the Bible says. Who are you, oh man, to talk back to God? Who are we? Who do we think we are? But see, when our parents raise us with that mindset, instead of saying, God, you know what? I may not understand or like what this says, that my life should be as a follower of Christ, but God, you sent Jesus to die for me. Who am I to tell you what I think about what your word says? See, who are we? God, teach me to greater yield my passions, my desires, my sinfulness, my brokenness, my generational issues that I continue to struggle with, whether it's addiction, whether it's controlling nature, whether it's violence, whether it's passive aggressiveness. You can go, the list goes on and on. What about the ones of others' ungodly thoughts of us? As growing up, you know, people would say, oh, you're never going to make it to 18 years old. That messed with me for years and years. Couldn't believe it. When I hit 18 years old, I go, I can't believe I'm still alive. And that was something that really messed with me. And when people repeat something, you end up, in a sense, taking ownership of that. It's very important that we don't do that, because, you know, you have an alcoholic father or mother and you hurt all your life. You ain't gonna be nothing but old drunk. You're the same as your old daddy was, the same as your mama was. No count addict, no count dope head. We gotta be careful in saying that, but also if you've had that said to you, you need to deal with that. Allow that to be broken. Had a mom or a dad that struggled with mental illness? Yeah, your old mom or your old daddy was crazy. You're going to be crazy too. No, we're not defined by that. We are not defined by that. We're defined by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We are blessed because Jesus Christ died for us. He saved us. If we walk into that realm of cursed, it's because we choose to do that. We choose to tell God to take a flying leap. I want to be the Lord of my life right now. I'll come back to you when I'm ready. No, we can't do that. And that's why it's important tonight to step back, do a checkup from the neck up. Lord, where am I at tonight? God, where am I at in my obedience and my submission to you? If you don't like what it looks like when you do that tonight, I want to challenge you to do something. Get on your hands and knees in your living room. If you can't get on your hands and knees sitting in that chair where you're at or standing and listening right now, all you've got to do tonight is to recognize that those actions and attitudes are sinful. They're separating us from God right now. Those are the things that right now, because of our choice, has placed us in a sense in that desert, that dry, barren land. But tonight, the beauty is that if we confess that for what it is, in an attitude and sincere heart, ask Jesus Christ to forgive, to cleanse you of those ungodly attitudes, those ungodly actions. Tonight, there is the promise that he will forgive us. We confess it. He is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The slate is wiped clean tonight, but it's got to start with you and I recognizing it first. Second, confessing it. Repentance is what? Turning. Turning from those attitudes and actions back into God's perfect divine will for our life. What is it? Narrow is that road that leads to life. Narrow. Because it's God's plan. The broad road is our plan, whatever we want to do. It's the Vanity Fair and Pilgrim's Progress. It's, hey, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. See, though narrow is that road that leads to life, because what is it? It's not our will, it's not our desire, it's God's. That's why it's narrow. It's his choice and path for our life. It's not easy, but it's worth it. Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin, today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.